Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs and chapter 6. And if you would stand for the reading of the word, we're going to read verses 16 through 19 that discuss something. Really, if you look at the verses, you'll see them all really pointing to the same sorts of sin and around the same type of thing. And we're going to cover a topic today that is vast throughout the scriptures and all the sins that surround it, all the sinful cousins of this item. And so it's going to be a little bit different sermon today, but we need to cover this, and we'll call this message, What Gossip Is and What It's Not. What gossip is and what it's not. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, hear the word of the Lord. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Father, with such a serious topic and with such a vast variety of people, we know that your Spirit must be among us for this to hit us in the heart where we need to, because some people are so guilty of this and everything around it. Some people are only guilty of some of it and don't realize it. Some people don't have any clue at all. Some people have intuition and their experience, and they think, I know what this is when I see it, and yet they don't have a biblically marinated mind, and they don't really have a hold on what this is. So conform our thoughts to your word. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge you and not lean on our own ways, but trust you and acknowledge you that you would make our paths straight. And Lord, we know that the person of all time who has suffered this worse than anybody is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when the devil would look at us and accuse us as the accuser of the brethren would do and slander us and get other people to join in that chorus, that we would know that even if we're guilty, you've got us. Even if it's not true, you have us, and that you'll bring us safely home. Bring home this message into our hearts today for your glory, and in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray, amen, and you may be seated. What gossip is and what it's not. Now, I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but as soon as I hear that, it's like, oh, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, and this person, and this person, and me, maybe back in the time, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Right? Maybe that's not you. But I have an idea that everybody, as soon as they hear that word, thinks they know exactly what this is. But I'd like to tell you that we have a gossip problem in this particular church. Oops. We have a problem, gossip problem in every single church that there is, and we always have. But the problem isn't just that there is gossip. The problem is that we often are calling gossip what isn't gossip, and we're failing to call gossip what actually is gossip. Now, see, if you're old enough to understand what I'm talking about at all, if you're 13 or 14 or you're 103, 104, this really fits everybody. Because it's not just the talking, it's also the listening. And we're going to try to be as definitive as we possibly can about this subject. But you know, the funny thing is the word gossip is not really prominent in Scripture. Depending on the version you use, KJV, ESV, NASB, you're going to see it just a few times. It's not prominent in Scripture, but the idea is strewn and shown throughout the Bible, along with the various sins related to gossip. So we'll differentiate between gossip and slander a little bit today and make you understand that. Now, the Word of God speaks of talebearers or whisperers. Again, depending on the version you use, you might see the words used interchangeably a little bit. But basically, that's people who murmur derogatory information about others. It mentions backbiters, and that's pretty simple to know. People who talk about the failings and faults of people behind their backs. It discusses slanderers, people who speak against others with a desire to do them harm. It talks about false witnesses, right? Thou shalt not bear false witness. And speaking evil of people. You might even say in your King James, evil speaking, or maligning, or mocking people. Sometimes it's in secret, and sometimes gossip is still right out in the open. Ah, did you know that? Sometimes it's in secret, sometimes it's right out in the open, and sometimes it's both. Now, we know this. God hates gossip. Can I get an amen? God hates gossip. Now, notice these connections in verse 16 through 19 of Proverbs chapter 6. Look how they're related here. Haughty eyes, you know, you're proud and you're lying and hands, you're looking to do wicked things, right? Hands that shed, a heart that devises, feet that make. It's all related there. A false witness who breathes out lies and one who sows discord among brothers. It's all related to this sin of gossip and slander and wanting to do evil to people. You see that? It's all really related. The person that's a gossip really can be involved in all of these things. Do you understand what I'm saying? The sin is gossip is tied up with all sorts of other evil intentions. Now, the Bible shows us the consequences that gossip and its evil cousins bring. It tells us to stay away from gossip and those who gossip, and to keep our ears from hearing slander and our lips from speaking slander. Now, I'm going to go on a Genesis to maps kind of thing here. We'll start with the book of Exodus, and we're going to run all the way through Revelation and show you these different terms and where they go, okay? I just want you to hear this in your ears so that you know over and over and over and over again the preponderance, the weight of Scripture is decidedly against this type of thing. Then we'll cover why we gossip, what gossip really isn't, and what gossip really is, and what do we do about it. Amen? All right, so again, we'll have lots of Scripture that we're reading and lots of Scripture after we read all these that we are referring to that we won't actually say what the Scripture is, but it'll be in the notes. This topic is just too big. I don't want to spend a month doing it. We could spend several months doing this if we really wanted to cover it exhaustively. But I want to make a definitive statement about this because gossip is coming to a heart near you. The threat of gossip, the temptation to gossip, the air of gossip is always all around because who is Satan but the accuser of the brethren? And people that are following his way will be like him. And if you're following his way, would you want to be like him or you want to be like Christ? Amen? So we're going to talk about that. Okay, again, here we go. Very quickly, I'm not going to offer commentary on the verses. I'm just going to read the verses. Is that okay that we run through the Bible a little bit? Amen? I know you got to say amen to that. Amen? All right, Exodus 20:16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. We know that comes from the Ten Commandments. Amen? All right, Exodus 23 and verse 1. I was going to have these all written out, and I know a lot of them by heart, but I thought if I do that, then people will just get confused as they're trying to do their pages. But if you can't keep up, that's fine. Just listen. Exodus 23:1 says, you shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. See, I was just listening to what somebody said. Just keep listening to this. Leviticus 19, verse 16. Amen. Leviticus 19:16 says, you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Here's a little story here. 2 Samuel chapter 10. A lot of you know this one, and if you don't, it's good to read about. 2 Samuel chapter 10. This shows what happens. David had defeated Ammon in Syria, and 2 Samuel chapter 10 verse 1 says, and this, the king of the Ammonites died. After the king of the Ammonites died, and Hunan, his son, reigned in his place, David said, I'll deal well with Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father dealt loyally with me. So David sent by his servants to console him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the Ammonites. But the princes of the Ammonites said to Hanun, their lord, do you think that because David has sent comforters to you, that he's honoring your father? Has David not sent his servants to you to search the city and spy it out and to overthrow it? So that's gossip, that's slander, that's lies, and you can read on what happened there, but it was not good. Let's take a run through the Psalms here. Psalms 15, anybody with me? Amen. I mean, this is just a vital thing, and I'm going to make some points here that you are not expecting, but they are biblically based and biblically correct. Psalm 15, verse 1 through 3. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Psalm 31, verse 13. Psalm 31, verse 13 says this. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side. They scheme together against me. They plot to take my life. Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. You see, what I'm going to try to tell you there is gossip is not just talking behind someone's back. That's what the world says. That's what a lot of the church says. Gossip is a bad message, think not true, given with a bad heart, think wrong motive, to affect a bad result, think defamation, ruining the reputation, harming someone. That's what gossip is. Gossip isn't, oh, they did this and they're coming over here and you better watch out. That's not gossip. We're going to cover that. Are you interested now, maybe a little bit? Because a lot of what we call gossip in the church is not gossip. But a lot of what isn't gossip can turn into gossip by our heart intention. Right? Psalm 41, verses 5 through 8. Psalm 41, verses 5 through 8 says, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers iniquity, and he goes out and tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me." Does this sound like a gossip? "They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies." Well, I don't know what happened, but I know this was going on. And isn't it curious that this was also going on? I wonder. That's a gossip. Psalm 101. Hey, we're halfway through the Bible. You all right with me? Psalm 101, verse 5. It says, "Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure." Psalm 109, verse 2. Psalm 109, verse 2 says this, "For wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongue." Let's look at the book of Proverbs. It has a lot to say about it. Book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 18. Proverbs 10, 18 says this, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." A fool. Proverbs 16, verse 28. Proverbs 16, verse 28. Are we getting the idea a little bit here? God hates gossip. But there's all sorts of forms and cousins of gossip that sit around there. "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends." Has that ever happened? Think about that. A whisperer separates close friends. Proverbs 17:4. "An evildoer listens to wicked lips." Ha ha. "And a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue." Wait a minute. A liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Think about that. You're the kind of people that listens to it. You're the kind of people that likes it and says it. Oh, my. Proverbs 18:8. "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." Proverbs 19:5. "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." Proverbs 20, verse 19. "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." Proverbs 24, verse 28. Proverbs 24, verse 28. "Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips." Proverbs 25, verse 23. "The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, angry looks." Proverbs 26, 20. Proverbs 26, 20. "For lack of wood," this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, where there is no fuel, the fire dies out. "For the lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, quarreling ceases." Look at verse 22. "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels." Again, they go down to the inner parts of the body. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah. They were definitely slandering against one another and slandering against Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6 and verse 28. Jeremiah 6, 28 says this, "They are all stubbornly rebellious, going about with slanders. They are bronze and iron, and all of them act corruptly." Jeremiah 20, verse 10. Jeremiah 20, verse 10. It's all throughout the Bible, folks. It's easy to know that God hates slander and gossip, but it's good to know what the difference of that is, and we will delineate that for you. But you need to see this all throughout the Scriptures because you have to bring conviction. You don't know. We can so easily just skip by this and just let your heart say, well, you know, and not really feel the weight of that. You know, until they finally, You know, a few years ago they took my blood sugar and it was only a certain amount. And I thought, well, you know, I can do diet and all this, and I really didn't try that hard. But then the last time when I got sick and then I went to the doctor, he said, this is do or die. You could lose your legs. You could lose your eyes. You could lose your arms. You could lose your life. Because you need to do something about that, and of course we have been, and that's gracious. But until you really see how bad the situation is, you don't do something about it. We think everybody else does it, but wait, do they? Jeremiah 20, verse 10. Jeremiah 20, verse 10. So we're so worried about it. People are gossiping against me, and sometimes when you're saying that to somebody else, guess what you're doing? For I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Sounds like the book of Psalms, right? Denounce him. Let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, and then we can promote, overcome him, and take our revenge on him. Let's go to the New Testament. Romans 1. You guys know what Romans 1 is. That's a terrible indictment of all of mankind. Of course, then the Jews say, but that's not us. And then so he takes up chapter 2 and says, oh, it's you too. Then chapter 3, he says what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. Romans 1, verse 29 and 30. It says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceitfulness, maliciousness. They are gossips. Then look at the differentiation there. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, and all of the other. How about 2 Corinthians 12, 20? 2 Corinthians 12, 20. It says this. For I fear that perhaps when I come I may find you not as I wish, and that you may not find me as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31 says this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Colossians 3:8. Anybody still with me? I know it's a terrible indictment. Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. 1 Timothy says a lot about it. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. 1 Timothy 3:11. It says, the wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. 1 Timothy 5:13. It says, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. We'll reference that later. Remember that word, busybodies. 1 Timothy 6:4. He's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16. 2 Timothy 2:16. It says, avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. 2 Timothy 3:3. He's talking about the end times there, and then he says that people are going to be, you know, without God. It says they're heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. Almost done here. 1 Peter 2:1. 1 Peter 2:1. See, even though the word gossip is not prominently featured in the scriptures, the ideas that about gossip and things that surround gossip are there. They are important. 1 Peter 2:1 says this. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Just two more. 3 John. There's only one chapter, verse 10. He's talking about Diotrephes here. He's naming names. Is that gossip? We'll get to that. So if I come, I'll bring what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. Not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. And then, of course, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now The salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Satan is a slanderer. So slander is a vile and wicked evil, and it pervades the church, and it pervades our hearts sometimes, and we've got to try to root this thing out. But many times, people, under the guise of, oh, it's gossip, don't open their mouths when they ought to. And people under the guise that it's not gossip open their mouths when they ought not to. So let's answer a question. Why do we gossip? Now, when I say these things, you're going to recognize them. Often it's to make ourselves look better to others. Or to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. We think that divulging certain information will gain us an audience and acceptance. Or win other people to our side of the contest. Well, you know, they were this and this. So, you know, really, well, you decide. You decide. You ever seen something like that? Gossip can be an attempt to hurt or retaliate against somebody, just spreading lies. Now, perhaps we gossip because we've had poor examples. We've just grown up around it. Or maybe we've had poor company. Everybody always just wants to tell everything about everybody else. Now, sometimes people fall into gossip because they don't think there's anything better to do, and so they just blab about things with idle talk. Gossip's a serious matter. We should be concerned that we avoid it. But before we just accept the world's view and their definition of gossip, or we just rely on what we've heard in the traditional church view of gossip, we need to look to the Scripture to see what gossip is and is not. Now, what the world says gossip is simply talking behind somebody's back. Amen? And the church seems to follow suit. But that's not all there is to it, biblically speaking. Otherwise, much of the Bible would be gossip. Think about it. It would make God a gossiper because he's telling the sordid details and sorrowful stories of hundreds of others without their permission and behind their back. And he's telling the secrets of their heart even and assigning motives. Of course, he's God. You might say, well, if the traditional view of gossip was true, then it'd mean that the apostles and early disciples used gossip to spread the gospel. Again, this idea would make the Bible a book of gossip. So let's illustrate. Now, when I mention these things, obviously the verses that you need to know that pertain to these are on, you know, the notes. But to illustrate what gossip is not, consider the following. Was Jesus gossiping when he said negative things behind the backs of Herod, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and the Sadducees? Was it gossip for Jesus to warn his disciples about false teachers and prophets when these teachers and prophets weren't around? Oh, they're a brood of vipers. I mean, John the Baptist said that right in front of them, but he said things similarly to them when they weren't around. Was Jesus actually guilty of spreading gossip when he called a woman in the church of Thyatira the Jezebel? All that Jezebel. Wasn't the real Jezebel, was it? Here's Jesus saying, all that Jezebel. He said, but that's Jesus, that's Jesus. But was it gossip? We're looking at the category. Was it gossip? The obvious answer is no. Did Mark get permission from James and John? Before he wrote about their, you know, they want to be first and all that. Was he trying to ruin their reputation? He wrote it down in Scripture. Oh, James and John, they came up and said, ooh, we want to be first. Was Mark actually gossiping when he wrote that down? Now, was Luke gossiping when he revealed the whisperings at the Last Supper? Is it you? Is it you? I wonder who. What's going on? Why did Judas leave? What's going on? Hey, it can't be me. It can't be you. Is it you? Dude, really? Is it you? Right? Is gossip? Is that gossip? Was Luke gossiping when he told the story of Peter's three denials? Ooh, Peter was out there, and he lied, and then he denied, and ooh, is that gossip? Now, if you know the book of Corinthians, you studied with it on Wednesday nights, or you know anything about the structure of Corinthians, you'll realize the first six chapters are Paul addressing gossip. But it wasn't gossip. There was a woman named Chloe, and her people said, hey, there's all kinds of sin going on. Now, when Chloe and her people reported to Paul about the specific types of carnality that were going on in the church at Corinth, did Paul say, you shouldn't have told me this, that's gossip? Or did he rather base several chapters of Scripture on this negative report? Oh, my. Think about Paul. Remember when he said, you know, it's 20 to 25 years later from Pentecost, and Peter having, you know, that dream in Acts chapter 10, saying, go out to everybody, don't call what I've called clean unclean, and all that. He knew the Gentiles were included, and yet he turned his back on them and went to the Judaizers in Galatians chapter 2, and Paul said, ooh, he said, him and Barnabas, ooh, I had to withstand them to their face. Is that gossip? Was he trying to ruin their reputation? Again, did Paul gossip by reporting the failures of Peter and Barnabas? Is that gossip? The answer is no. How do we know? We're getting there. Are you interested? Anybody interested, really? I mean, you should be interested in this topic. Now, was Paul gossiping when he said Demas left him and because he was in love with the world? He named some other people, Crescens and Timothy and other people, and he said, Demas left me, and before he called him a fellow worker. Here we are at the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4:10. He says, Demas left me. You know why? Because he was in love with the world. Is that gossip? He's assigning motives. What? Now, how about the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John? They were contending with the faith, and you'll know, just like we saw in 3 John 1:10, they name names. Oh, you just shouldn't do that. You know, you got to be... No. I just feel like doing it right now. This person that you see on TV or you see it, they're false. Contending for the faith, is that gossip? No, it gets to the point when they're a public persona, you've got to do something about it, and we're going to get to that. But the point is contending for the faith like Paul and John did and using names, it was that gossip when they did it? Obviously not. You have a big conference. And you start saying this part of a movement, this segment, has all kinds of things wrong with it. And you start naming names. People say, oh, you don't have the right. Oh, you don't care. No. Loving thing is to tell people what the truth is. Finally, is the discipline process laid out by Jesus himself in Matthew 18, 15 through 20, is that a case of gossiping? Because it says, you go to the person, and if they don't listen, you got to get somebody else. And what does that mean you got to do, Barb? You got to tell them what went wrong. Ooh, gossip? No. That's not gossip. And then you got to tell the whole church. And it happens every time we have church discipline. People say, ooh, that's gossip. Not necessarily. Some people don't need to know. Some people do. But clearly, we should not be defining gossip in such ways. Amen? God reveals and discloses the truth, both positive and negative things. And this is most definitely not gossip. And those who follow him will become like him. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's Ephesians 5:11. Of course, we're not supposed to go around like sin police. We'll talk about that. But some of the ideas about gossip are simply means of damage control or image management. What do I mean? Leaders can foster an environment of fear by stifling normal conversation in the body. Now, to be sure, not all those who claim gossip are consciously harboring sin or trying to control people. But those who love darkness, who want to try to control information through manipulation or emotional blackmail, that's a big subject on its own, can simply label openness and honesty and light as gossip. And many seem to buy this tactic without considering it as a false doctrine. If we don't understand what gossip is and isn't, what Paul, Mark, Luke, and God did and do could be labeled as gossip. That keeps us from learning from anyone else's mistakes or failures and short circuits God's intention for us to live in the light. When the church stifles real news among the brethren under the misnomer gossip, we endure outrageous fabrications, slander, and lies among us, not recognizing that this is the very gossip the Scriptures is telling us not to engage in. Get it out into the light is the point. Is it true? That type of thing. So, what is the sin of gossip then? I said this before and I'll say it again. Basic definition, then we're going to define it a little further. Gossip is talking behind someone's back with bad news, given with a bad heart, to affect a bad result. Gossip is talking about someone behind their back, usually, with bad news, think not true, given with a bad heart, think a wrong motive, to affect a bad result, like self-promotion, malice, manipulation, revenge, etc. You need to tell something to somebody else so that they have the information ahead of time so that the thing that you want them to bring to bear on the other person, they do it. That's manipulation. That can be gossip. Are we a little more clear there? Maybe not. Let's continue on. Telling the truth to protect others is not gossip. We know what your child is capable of. We know that they did this. They're in trouble with the law. You're telling me as a pastor so that I can protect people. That's not gossip. How's that gossip? It's not. Me going and saying, man, you ain't this, that, and the other thing. Oh, you never know this guy. That's gossip. So to tell the truth to protect others is not gossip. If that's what's really going on, if it's not done with an evil heart motive. Gossip is spreading harmful information in an ungodly manner, without love, and thus to no positive end. Its stepchildren are strife, dissension, division. We saw that in the verses we read. Gossip is, now here we go, gossip is inherently a false witness of slander. Gossip and slander orbit around, everybody wake up! Slander revolve around each other. Slander is the lie, and gossip is the spread of lies. Say that again. Slander is lying, and gossip is the spreading of lies. Someone tells you something, it's got a little juicy bit, then you know, you ever played that game? A, B, C, D, pickle, onion, cactopus, or cat, you know what? And then by the time you get to the end, it's something totally different, right? That's what the power of gossip is like. Slander is the lie. Gossip is the spreading of lies. Sometimes gossip may well have some truth to it, but it also includes an embellishment, a perverted twist, if you will, which is what the attraction is. It lures others into wanting to hear and spread the news. In some situations, the gossip will be repeating some slander someone else told as a speculation that has no basis in truth at all. If you want to think about what gossip looks like, think about how the religious leaders accused Jesus and Paul and the other disciples. Remember, they brought false witnesses to testify against Stephen. People were whispering around. They were trying to get someone that has some traction to say, I'll stand up, I'll do this, and people did that. That's gossip and that's slander. But that's what they were doing against Jesus, against Paul, against the other disciples. And he says, it will be against you. We'll look at that at the end. Speaking slander, starting rumors, spreading lies, and promoting gossip. Now, with biblical wisdom and experience, we can recognize real gossip when we come across it. A gossip's main intention isn't about accurately depicting reality like the writers of Scripture, like God, like normal healthy Christians do as they speak of one another. Instead, the gossip is promoting lies to project onto others. Now see, just because you're not gossiping doesn't mean doesn't mean it's right to tell it. We're going to get there. But gossip is about spreading lies. That's what gossip is, not just talking behind someone's back. That's what the world says. But that's what God does. That's what the writers of Scripture do. Is that gossip? We went through all those negative examples. The answer is no. How does it turn into gossip? Keep listening. Is anybody listening? If I got your rapt attention so much, no one's making a noise. Hello. I guess I'm gossiping. And you leave here and you go, boy, he must really have this going on in his life. There must be something going on in the church. I don't know. That's gossip. I'm a happy guy. So again, I'm going to describe some more about gossip. Gossip is promoting lies to project onto others. Gossip aren't interested in being true witnesses, but instead find unhealthy enjoyment in bearing and believing false witnesses. A gossip gives no thought to the reputation of someone else. A slanderer wants to ruin the reputation of someone else. So the slander starts this thing, and the gossip says, ooh, neat. They're not even thinking about it. This person's starting that to get this thing rolling, and you are making it roll right down the tracks. That's what a gossip is doing. They spread slander. They listen to it. They ruminate on it. They add a little to it. It gets juicy. People want to know, and, oh, I just need to know. Oh, let's pray for this person. Whoa. Again, a slanderer wants to ruin the reputation of everybody else or somebody else. They bring accusations and assign bad motives to people. A gossip keeps those rumors going. Well, we haven't seen them in a while. And, you know, pastor said, you know, he hadn't seen them in a while. No. Oh, I just know that they're doing this, this, and this. And some of that might be true, but you're just trying to tell someone that doesn't even have anything to do with it. And you're just, right? Hello? We can all wear the crown on that. It happens, but we can work our way out of that. Amen. And Jesus helps us. But a gossip keeps those rumors going. Now, like all sin, slander and gossip can be enjoyed in the moment. But like all sin, there's a price to be paid later, a real price. With slander and gossip, the price is the defamation of character, the ruining of real-life people and relationships and organizations. Two people were very close friends, and now they're ripped apart by other people's gossip. It results in self-delusion, though, and an inability to discern the truth for those who continue in it. They don't know the truth from the air. Remember, the person that is a liar listens to lies. Remember, we read that. It isn't wise to swim in such polluted waters because you become polluted yourself. gossiping is foolish, and gossips are, and gossips become fools. You've got to say this, though. There's a big difference between gossip and accountability to a group. The Bible is in favor of accountability. And sometimes it involves the disclosure of sin to more than one person, and this would not be considered gossip. And right here on our notes, I put Matthew 18, 15 through 20, and all the things about church discipline. Now, of course, you're not supposed to always go about like sin police. That's not what we're trying to do. Proper church discipline is about dealing with open, ongoing, unrepentant, defiant sin, and that may need to involve more people than usual. But this must be about a process of restoration, not retaliation. That being said, church discipline is not gossip. You're seeing something going on, it's not going well, you talk to the person, they won't do anything about it, then you come to somebody else and say, both of you kind of say something, and then they won't do it, and then you come tell me. And, oh, but you told the pastor, you didn't have to tell the pastor. Yes, you did. That's the line. That's what it looks like in the scripture. Is that gossip? No, because that thing's going to spread out like prairie fire if you don't do something about it, and it does. We get them a couple times a year for sure. It happens. Amen? That's just what happens. Problems get to the point you have to say something, first to the individual, then the others when it gets too far. Of course, you have to have a case, or the person bringing the accusation is merely slandering. The difference of whether or not it's gossip is the intent of the heart. To wound or to heal, both individual and church. So certainly, we need to use a little discretion with our disclosure. And a lot of times, some things are just better left unsaid. Ooh, I saw this person smoking. Ooh, I saw this person at Griff's. Well, what were you doing there? But anyway, I just thought about that, you know? Ooh, they were there and they said a dirty word. Ooh, and you loved it too. You loved telling me, didn't you? And you repeated that word, didn't you? And how's that going for you? Four-letter word's one thing, but by the way, fair is a four-letter word, in case you didn't know. And the other thing is that you're guilty of dirty words too. That's what we just read all those verses about that. So some things are better left unsaid. That being said, telling the truth for the right reasons need be restrained only by the law of love for each other and for the truth. There's a balance, though, between loving people and taking a stand against sin. It's not necessarily wrong to sincerely ask someone about what they did or what's going on. I see this. I'm not sure about this. Couldn't you set me straight? But it's slander to accuse someone without substantial evidence that they're guilty. Don't accept an accusation against the elder except in the presence of two or three witnesses, 1 Timothy 5:19. Now, contending for the faith in itself, Peter, that's not slander. But some have used contending for the faith as a pretense for slander. They don't like their doctrine, so they're going to say everything about their life that doesn't have anything to do with the doctrine. They can't make the correlation. Sometimes it correlates, sometimes it doesn't. But they're just trying to defame the person's character, so you'll stop doing this or stop doing that. Oh, that church this. Oh, that church that. Really? If I went to the pastor, would he concur with that? I mean, if it's false doctrine, yeah, we don't believe in the Trinity. Okay, well, then that's true. Okay, well, we teach this, we teach that, and we know that your doctrine says this, pastor, that we did that, and I want this, I don't want that. Okay, fine. But, oh, they do this, and they're just all cliquish, and they just do all that and all that. Get away from me or learn something. Now, sometimes, just, you know, I'm getting toward the end here. Sometimes spreading information, notice my little quote hands here. Spreading information is just plain old gossip. Gossip is talking about the failures and faults of other people to people that can't do anything about them. People are neither part of the problem or part of the solution. They're neither the victim. Now, because you got to be careful. They're neither the victim of the person or a potential victim of the other person. It's not slander to say, this guy always asks everybody for money. The church has told them we're not going to give any more money, but they keep asking everybody behind us for money. That's not gossip. That's not gossip. Because we said don't do it, and then they're trying to, you know, you ready for it? Go ask your mother. Well, Daddy said I could. Try to play one off against the other, things like that. It's all tied up together. Instead of trying to make this super definition, it's exactly this. You do recognize it when you see it, if you understand biblically what's going on. Your intent of the heart. Sometimes, even though a person in question needs to be prayed for, our prayer requests, as I've said, are also just a sanctified way of spreading gossip. Oh, and pray for... There's too many people here. Person X. Let's say your name is like, oh... Person X, because they did this again, they got in trouble again, and this, that, and the other thing, and oh, let them have mercy, and let them have grace, and oh, they're so wicked, and oh, you didn't say that, but what was your heart thinking? Now, this next little bit is what it is. Some people just want others to see them as someone in the know. They've always got the information right there. But sometimes we just need to mind our own business and not going looking and listening about like busybodies. We read the scriptures earlier. We need to remember that listening to gossip counts as taking part in gossip. When we hear a whispered innuendo, a juicy rumor, an unsubstantiated claim, instead of just listening, we should ask about evidence and motives. Ask this: why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this? If they can't properly defend their speech, you rebuke them. I'm not going to listen to that. I don't need to hear that. It has nothing to do with me. Now, sometimes you're in the family of God and all that. I get that. But you need to be discerning about that. And here's the thing. Even when people have the truth, I'm telling you because it's true, so that people think they're not gossiping. But that doesn't mean it's right in spreading the information. Some people think they can just say anything about anyone as long as they know it's true. But there's also the question of motive. There must be good reasons for telling bad things about others. Just because you have news doesn't mean you're supposed to broadcast it. The questions are, does this other person need to know, and will it be helpful to them? Now, even when information and informing someone, you know, that ought to know, quote unquote, about certain people, certain things, we can still be gossiping when our intent is to sow seeds of suspicion. The pastor needs to know because he's the elder of the church and there's other elders, and JD needs to talk to Ed, and Ed needs to talk to Dan. We need to have a united front on this and figure it out and pray for this person and all that. But it really isn't a big deal, and the other person just wants to say, ooh, see, there's a roach here. That means there's 100 in the wall. You know, they've got a little leak here. Oh, they've got a lot of leak. You could still be gossiping by doing that. You haven't even gone to the person. You haven't thought about it. You haven't substantiated it. And yes, we would need to know, but it isn't at that point, is it? When we embellish the story to make it more exciting, when we must be sure to add all the juicy details, we're involved in gossip. It's spreading rumors or secrets, speaking about someone maliciously behind their back, or repeating something about someone else that you have no right to repeat. By the way, whenever we were going to give this a few weeks ago, and we did it on a Wednesday night, and there's never a good time to deliver this, because then it always makes the people that aren't here normally go, ooh, there must be something. No, there's nothing going on right now that I know of or whatever. Well, gossip to me later, I guess. But I'm not just saying it's going against the sin of gossip. I'm trying to show you that a lot of what people say is gossip is not actually gossip. Getting things out in the open for the truth is not gossip. But you can do it with a gossipy sort of heart. Now, when it isn't your responsibility to inform others, or it isn't in the realm of their accountability to you or the person you're talking to, or it is a matter of safeguarding someone else, then the other person isn't in the need-to-know category, and you aren't in the need-to-inform category. This would be a violation of Scripture. We have Scriptures here. So when does your, quote-unquote, sharing descend into gossip? Ask yourself these questions. How certain am I that the facts are correct? How certain am I that the facts are correct? Number two, was the information given in confidence? Da-da! Of course, some things like, you know, I'm going to light someone on fire tonight. Tell somebody, please. Number one, again, how certain am I that the facts are correct? Number two, was this given in confidence? Number three, is this important enough to share? Some things are better left unsaid. Number four, am I telling this story to help build up others in Christ? A lot of times we can answer no to that and think, oh, does that shut us off? No, because the next question is this. Am I telling this story to help protect others in Christ? Are you building other people up, protecting other people? What are you doing? Which brings to the next question. What is my motive for telling this particular person about it? What is my motive for telling this particular person about it. And finally, have I prayed about it? Psalm 141:3. Remember his sermon on Psalm 141, protect me from me? He says, guard the door of my mouth. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, or my rock, my deliverer, and my redeemer. Turn to Matthew 5:12. Matthew 5:12. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus describing to his disciples. Look what he says in verse 11. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against thee falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There will be people that see you advancing in God, and they are jealous, or they don't think it's right, or they know one little thing about you, and they choose to mention that one little thing instead of all the good things, and that's a gossip. Oh, yeah, well, you know, pastor's doing this, that, and the other thing, but... Well, you know, Stephanie got through college with her faith intact, and things are going good, but... Well, they're doing that thing downtown. Everything's good. Oh, you know, but there's going to be, you know. What's your motive? Why are you telling this particular person about it? Have you prayed about it? Do you have all the facts? Etc. As Jesus has told us, the truth is that gossip will always be used against the godly. Gossip will always be used against the godly. But is it true about you, you know? But as Christians, hear me. We should be prayerfully checking our motives, respecting proper boundaries, using some discretion with our disclosure. Hello, maturity. And as with all communication, we have to consider truth, timing, tact, and tone. See, gossip is a destroyer, and we should be on guard against it. With our lips and our ears and in our hearts. People should feel like we have their back, not that we're always at their back. But speaking the truth behind someone's back is what God does. And it's what Christians have always done. It's biblically based. It's healthy, normal human activity. It's bringing life out into the light. Those who want to manipulate and control people will label such things as gossip, because they want to micromanage everything said about them. We need to be clear about such false teachings. Biblically speaking, we need to know what gossip is and also what it's not. And just remember, Colossians 2:13-14, he took that record that was against us, and it was real. And people know. And God knows. And Satan knows. And he tattooed it on Jesus Christ's hand. He nailed it to the cross. And so when the accuser of the brethren comes, first of all, if you haven't done anything, just say, Lord, let your righteousness prevail. If you have done something, say, Lord, give me mercy because I did it. Give me grace so I don't do it again. And remember this, then Satan will say, I accuse you. And you can say, you know what? I'm guilty. But you know what you can do? You can talk to the hand, the nail-scarred hand. Jesus is the way to defeat the slander of Satan. And that's what the truth is. And that's what you need to know about gossip. Because it's coming your way. Are you going to spread it? Or are you going to stop it? Why are you telling me this? Well, I just okay. Well, excuse me. And they're mad at you, but whose heart's wrong? Maybe talk to them. Bring them to this. So we printed it all out. Just 4 pages. It will be PDF. You'll see it. Be on sermon audio and all that. This needs to be something that we all get and that we use, not to bully each other, but to build each other up. So that when Satan comes and tries to accuse the brethren and pick other people off, when, ooh, Satan is this, he's going to sift you like wheat, did all the rest of them go, ooh, you're going to deny him 3 times. And then everybody's going, we won't. Yeah, you all will. They all ran. Smite the sheep. Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter, right? But no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said about God, no matter what you've done wrong and said about others, you can find forgiveness today. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Faithful, he'll do it just because he has to, because of Christ. To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the abundance of your word and the clarity that we actually have when we look fully at the full counsel of your word. Lord, help us with this, because the tongue is a restless evil. Who can tame it? But we know, Lord, that with you, your word, we can hide it in our heart that we wouldn't sin against you. That your word would give it, be a light into our feet, or a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Show us what we're walking on. Show us the way we're going, and we can step away from slander. We don't have to look at lies. We have nothing to gain from gossip. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.